You're lucky that's just a JPEG of bricks. He can't literally throw one at you.
Yeah. Windrider says, anyone tried Trim? But I thought Trim didn't work anymore. The app doesn't work, does it?
That's a long conversation, but not necessarily right now. You can make it work, but it's,
you don't want to mess with
that. The jury
is
still out on whether it actually does anything long-term, and that's according to Backblaze, who uses more hard drives than anybody in the planet.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, you do not want to mess with that, believe me.
Yeah, I think if you're running pre-Mavericks, you're fine. It's positively gorgeous, but post-Mavericks, I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're off.
Oh, the brick does look nice.
Thank you, darling.
Now that I can finally see it. Yeah, it looks sharp.
It does. It's great.
We'll be a real broadcast yet, won't we?
All I need now is for me to cast a shadow on that virtually. I can't figure out how to put a drop shadow that moves with me. So there you go. It's the Mac Show. Hello. Yes, we've been discussing already and getting going. Looking for the week after the Apple keynote, of course, when nudes tend to die off. But we've actually done quite well. It's not bad. Joining me to discuss it, I've got a fantastic group of people here. Starting me off, top left, it's the Doctor.
Aloha.
How you doing, brother?
Good morning, gang.
What's been happening?
I've just been busy lasering everything. I had so much work when I came back from Japan. I've just been in my basement laboratory working like a madman.
You gotta
like
do the
pinky in the brain.
You got to do the evil laugh there, mate.
Yeah, you need one. There you go.
Come see my etchings. Good, mate. Are you excited? You've only got a nearly 3 weeks to go now, and you can order a $20,000 watch.
Oh, I'm beyond excited. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. I even stopped using contact juice to save money, so that's why I'm the bespectacled doc today.
Now, I've had a few emails from people about last week's show. A lot of them, this is really surprising, actually, because a lot of them are actually fairly complimentary.
Thank you.
We've had a few that have said that they really enjoyed the show. Lee Garrett tweeted out that it was the best coverage of the keynote, the best talk-up of the keynote that there'd been. And he couldn't get over how professional we sounded. I also had a few emails from people. I'm just trying to look for one at the moment. And they're saying about how, effectively there's a massive divide on people, that have, normally I would have said yes to this, but I'm not going to go for it because of, and there's loads and loads of people saying they're the opposite of it. But Brett jumped in with one, which I'll read the rest of it earlier on, a bit later on. But I just wanted to say to you, Doc, when he finished, on some occasions, including last week, my five-year-old, this big show, I therefore do not feel that Doc should have been penalized for his Sony camera. It was a cool pick on a Mac show, especially as most of the previous cool picks have been that have been made on the big show have been Apple. So there you go.
Thank you. Yes.
He leapt to your defense. That's Brett Ladding. We'll read Brett's email in a second because he raises quite a different point. Next to Doc, it's not Doc. Next to Doc, it's Adam.
Looking festive.
How you doing?
By the way,
you're still in the broom cupboard, dude.
I am. I got to figure this out.
How long? I mean, there's people that plan for a while, but Jesus.
I got to get funding to build a new studio. I don't know where that's going to come from.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I'm a podcaster. What do you want?
But I mean,
we do what we have to do.
Well, you got to say, though, that in a closet that's full of linen and clothes and stuff, the acoustics must be awesome because it's dead as a doornail, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, I made this. I'm surrounded by packing blankets. So
yeah, he called it U-Haul chic.
U-Haul chic is what I got. Yeah,
yeah, it's good,
bro.
I've even got one draped across the ceiling, bro, like above me. So it's all dampened on purpose. So there's nothing.
Beautiful.
I mean, what's in here is my office stuff. I've got a desk. I've converted it into an office, but it works. What are you gonna do?
I used to, when I was doing the Daily Show, I used to get in the hotel rooms. I'd have a little alcove where there was a tea and coffee maker. So there was a plug, which was great for the laptop. And I'd empty all that out, put two pillows in the back, And then I'd stand there with the duvet over my head while I read out the Daily Show to get rid of all the echo and background noise of the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, this is how podcasting is. You know, people think it's all glamorous and studios and lights and equipment because of, you know, some people do it that way. But the majority of us, yeah, we're in room closets. As a matter of fact, I went and talked to the San Diego podcasting group last night and talked about how I started with a $25 USB microphone, my laptop, GarageBand, and recorded in my car on the lunch on my lunch hour.
Yeah. I remember Don doing an episode for us. It was called Bomber McAllister when we were back in the Bagel Tech days. And he did it via his iPhone, sat on the top of Shap or something like that.
Yeah.
Big high hill, middle of nowhere. Next to Adam is Kelly. How you doing, girl?
Hey, not bad. How about you?
Yeah, good. No worries at all.
I wish Adam had sent the email about Hawaiian shirts and Doc and I could have also been appropriately attired.
Well, I wore a paisley shirt yesterday. I had the piss taken out of me rotten.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Now everyone was telling me I looked like I was wearing a set of curtains.
Hey, Kel, you're going to have to go find a pair of glasses because I just realized this is the entire Bespectacled show and then you didn't have
that. Oh, yeah. You're the odd one.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, she's got some fashion glass.
I do.
No, they're sunnies. Okay. Kelly's going to be cool, girl.
Hey, do what I can. I have forsaken all other forms of vision correction because I don't need them anymore. I went and got the laser upgrade. So you get these instead.
Okay. Nice. And last but by no means least, he's back again. David Kalo, how you going, mate, from Apple World Today?
Hey, how are you?
I'm excellent, mate. Glad to have you back on.
Thanks. I'm happy to be back. I want to share a little solidarity with Adam. If I were to pan back and you were to see the setup I have right here, you would all be horrified. Yeah. Don't let that nice mic fool you. It's everything is jerry-rigged here right now.
Well, that's the thing. Oh, yeah. You get to one end of the office, you put a green screen up, no one can see the opposite end, which is just the biggest shit tip that you've ever seen in your entire life.
I need to get a big, big green cloth that I can hang behind myself and make it look nice.
I got too much crap and too little time to sort it out.
All smoke and mirrors. All smoke and mirrors.
Absolutely. And angles, that's the key. All you got to remember is that camera's shooting cones. So you've only got to be at the end of the cone. Everything that's you can crimp down as you get closer to the cone, you see, and get more clutter in that way.
Calvin and Hobbes' principle of photography. Yes. Clear off the one corner of the bed to be pristine, and the rest of the room is an utter disaster.
The week in Apple, what's been going on then? The internet and magazines is lousy with skinny women wearing the watch. They are pushing the fitness angle like you wouldn't believe. And that's it, I think. And there was a TV documentary inside Apple's laboratory for the watch. And they do climate chamber tests and all sorts with it. So seems like they might be taking it quite seriously, after all. What?
They certainly are.
Why are you sighing at me, Kelly? What have I done now?
No, you haven't done anything. I personally have a huge frustration with the watch, and because it's the Mac show, I can tell you why. I can't tell you why on the big show. I am unhappy with the watch because they came out with all of these additions to HealthKit and all of the things that were going to make it better and all of the things that were awesome. And then they came out with Christy freaking Tarlington to come on stage who talks about women's health and OBGYN issues and getting access for good prenatal care to women in underdeveloped places. Mm-hmm. And yet the single thing that HealthKit will not do is track a woman's cycle.
Are we talking reproductive cycle?
Yes. And there is no obvious, your options if you wish to do this with your phone are varying degrees of obnoxious pink icon with varying degrees of obnoxious advertisement contained therein. There is not even an option. It's not like one of those things where you can use another app and then it will feed all that data to HealthKit. There's nothing like that at all.
I think
then for the big push of the watch to be putting it on all of these women, it sort of makes me unhappy because it, to me, it feels like it's Apple unintentionally drawing attention to the lack of this information in HealthKit. And I find that very frustrating.
I mean, if you want something that's, you know, if you're going to get something that's mildly offensive for tracking women's cycles, you might as well get, I think it's Red Moon it's called. Because that's really offensive. Because it's written for blokes. And it tells you the days to avoid the misses.
Well, and all of them are.
Yeah.
Like all the other ones are pink and they're covered in flowers and they are all horrifying to have to look at if you want to try. And there are a number of completely legitimate reasons why to track it. There are health issues that go along with there being changes in the length of a cycle. There are, not everybody is 28 days. One of the things everybody says, and that's for some people, that's not the case. And being able to track that information is a lot easier. Having historical data so that if you do need to go to the doctor about something, you can show this is what all of this stuff is. And it's really, and it's all legitimate health stuff. It's not like because I want to make sure I'm not getting pregnant, although for some people, maybe that's helpful. Sometimes it's for people who do want to have children. And so to not have the option even for that information, because you can totally customize health kit. And so to me, that's the thing that I find really frustrating about this is we're going to put this on all of these women. And when you ask women, if you are wanting to track health data, what do you want to track? Almost everyone is going to say something like that.
Surely that's incredibly easy, though, with an iCal script.
Yeah, so I was going to ask a question, you know, just to be devil advocate for the people that's out there, because I kind of know the answer, but this is what you do in podcasting. So what from your wrist is going to tell anybody that something is going on in your evil pit of anger?
Okay.
AKA, if you want to be a bit more polite, the Lady Garden.
If you want to be a bit more polite.
I was trying to just not use any, you know, phallic terms. I was letting it slide.
I'll be as delicate as I can.
How is your wrist going to relay that information?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my question as a male, even though I do know the answer.
Well, there's a few websites that I've been to in my time where that would be possible.
There's a countdown. You could give a countdown. That could be one of the display panels in health. You know, just like I can show your steps, I can show whatever. One of those little circles could be how many days you are. You know, it's day 26. Okay, that explains why none of my jeans fit and I want to eat everything in the house.
Yeah, so what Adam said, or I think that was Adam because I wasn't watching the screen at the time, is that this is an iCal script. Like anybody with like the most rudimentary lynda.com iOS, how to make an iOS app programming thing could generate that.
You do it in
like,
Apple
I could do PhoneGap and I could program that.
You could probably do it in Automator, couldn't you?
Why do I have to?
Yes.
Why do I have to? Yes, it's possible.
Yeah,
it's
you guys
possible
are missing
for
the
me
point,
to go
I
get
think.
One. You guys, I can go get one of those horrible apps that's covered in flowers and makes me feel like I'm going to break out in a rash just because I have to use it because I want to make sure that I have like the heads up warning for Shark Week. Okay, I get it. But why do I have to? Why is it up to me to learn to program, to learn to script,
but
to learn
to
whatever in order to do that?
I'm not taking it that far. Okay, so what I'm saying in the most nicest way possible is that that is something, if it's all about the time, I have that same thing that you're requesting, but mine is known as a footy schedule. And when I need a footy schedule, being one of the only 8 Americans who watch footy, I go to UK and I find a UK blog that has the footy schedule as an ICS and I download it and I put it in. In all theory, it does follow your calendar. So if you set it up in your own ICS, like I have on my calendar right now, which tells me when to leave that person alone, basically what you just said, I actually have that in my calendar and it shows up on my wrist because it's just iCal. It doesn't require a whole separate program. It's like Apple saying for fitness, I'm gonna give you a program to tell you when to breathe.
Yeah, no, I think there's nothing in health kit that would take your temperature and know your cycle dates unless you actually told it the date that you started.
Right.
So you'd have to tell it the date that you started. So there'd have to be an app for it, and the app will be coming, presumably. And there's nothing in HealthKit that can't interface with iCal to do that. So I can't see
that
this can't be
there's no capability for it. Right now, I could go report all of the food that I eat and have that data get slurped into HealthKit, and that would be fine. But I know I still have to do the work of the entry. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it would be nice if I could get all of that information in one place. If I want to see all of those dates for 2014, for example, I would have to go wade through a truckload of calendar nonsense in order to find those dates for each month if I'm entering it. I want to be able to see just those. And it would be, I think it would be something where they could at least offer the capability for people who want to do it. I really don't want to think that this is Facebook level tone deafness on Apple's part. I'm hoping it's just because either they're worried about liability in some way, or they haven't figured out a good way to display information that is often inconsistent.
I'm being rather stupid here, which is not unknown. There is nothing in HealthKit that can't interface with an iCal script to let you do that already. And you could write an automator script for iCal that you could set your specific date. So if you're not a 28-day person, you could specify that. That's not a problem. And it could count, and you could rerun the script on the day that you would need to restart that with the suggested time period that you work to. And there's nothing in HealthKit that won't let it interface with iCal and let someone write an app that's politically correct and not a stupid one for blokes that would let you do it. What's the problem, though? Why has Apple got to write that program?
There's not a capability right now.
But there's no sensors that would help you. That's what Adam's just said.
That's what I said, too. There's no sensor that can connect.
I didn't say anything about the sensors.
Okay, Adam, that was just me. You pussy.
I said there's no sensor that can connect your wrist to the guard.
No. I'm all right. I'm joking.
Adam. Being a pussy, that's me saying that I didn't say something.
It was a joke. Calm down.
Okay.
And if we keep saying script, and is that even necessary? Can't you just make a repeating calendar event every 26, 28, 30 days alert that happened 7 days prior?
This is where I think I do get this, is the problem that you get is if you're not a 28-day cycle person, or even if you are, let's say that actually the cycle does that month at 27 days or 26 days or 29 days, then a repeating calendar event won't help. You need to restart it, which means you need to run a script which will put an iCal event in to remind you, but then when you know that that's happened, you need to rerun the script to start the cycle again. So,
okay.
I think.
Yeah. Well, and for me, it's just that it's frustrating because it's not like it's one of those panels that you can't see. Like, I can go enter in there all the crap that's in the multivitamin I take every morning if I really want to. All of those options are there. And there's no option, even if I went out and built an app that didn't make me angry to use, and even angrier when it's, you know, Shark Week. I tried to give you that one, Doc, and you wouldn't pick it up. Even if I can make that app, there's nowhere in HealthKit that is going to track that information. There's no panel there available for me to talk to. And that's the thing that makes me frustrated. It's not possible. I mean, anybody can build an app. Go look in the App Store. You will totally find them. There are hundreds of them. They're really easy to find because they're all pink and they all try to look like they aren't what they are. And that just makes them more obvious.
But so there's nothing in HealthKit which is sex biased, is there? There is nothing in HealthKit which is sex biased. Everything in HealthKit is unisex.
Okay. Then how come you can tell it your gender now?
Well, maybe you can tell it your gender because it would just record that as a piece of data. It doesn't alter the settings in it, and it doesn't trigger any programs that are gender specific. So it's a unisex application.
Well, I'm assuming there's just no sensor for it. And once they can get an accurate temperature sensor, that temperature sensor alone could kind of solve this problem. But right now, I don't believe the watch has a temperature sensor in it. I mean, I could be completely wrong.
No, it doesn't. It took it out, didn't they?
No. Yeah, so the temperature and the blood pressure thing, which I know they wanted to, but they didn't get that far. If they were able to get that far, then this is no longer a conversation. But the two most important things that you could probably do to check would be temperature and blood pressure. The watch is incapable of. So I don't say that Apple is taking a pee on the pink mafia, but right now the capability doesn't exist. But if you remember, you couldn't put an app in iPhone 1, and now you can.
But give it
the second watch before you rip Apple a new a-hole.
No, it's not. It's not the watch that is the problem. The problem I'm having is that one of the things that they are using as a tentpole of the marketing is all of the fitness tracking you can do. Just like, because it's a piece of a thing that does a lot more. So, like, did you know that if you buy this thing from Apple that you can make phone calls on it? Lots of people didn't know that. Maybe you buy it to make phone calls and find out it does all this other awesome stuff. That's great, right? And it would be nice if your Apple Watch that now lets me with my 5S use Apple Pay and do all kinds of other things could also be a good monitor for information. All I'm talking about is being able to enter the information. Here's the day it started. Here's the day it ended. And how many days ago was it last time? That's really all I'm looking for. And that would be a very easy thing for me to enter by hand, which I'm already doing, which I'm willing to do. Just like entering the water that you drink every day or the food that you eat into some app that then gives HealthKit tracking data. That's all I'm looking for, is being able to track that data. I don't need it. I don't need to look at it today and go, oh, my temperature's higher. Clearly it's time for the rampage. Like, I'm not looking for that. So all I want to be able to do is have that information as part of what HealthKit is tracking for me. And I find that I find it frustrating that it's not, particularly when the primary person that you see this watch on all of the time now is women. That's why.
All right. So here's what I think might be an easy way to fix it, if it's open to development. Like a super easy way to do this. If it's open development, I'd have to look at the kit. I'll go pull it down and I'll check it out. All right. So you know how you can make a gesture on your watch to send, like, I want to send a slong image to you and to be like, come on, let's do this show or something weird, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that somebody should be able to write a thing that says, I can make a particular gesture that's going to be like a little signature mark or whatever, and it's going to add an entry to the book. Because I happen to know somebody who I'm related to that has a really horrible disease called menorrhea, where it basically, you bleed too much to the point where it's dangerous to your health.
Yep.
Right. So she has to be very particular about tracking all these things. Right. So if you could pick your arm up and go, all of a sudden today, I got angry at you and I started spotting for no reason, but I need to put that in. I don't want you to go through a whole app and do a lot of data. I want you to pick your hand up and go, bop, bop, bop. And then that just checks a little mark in your thing that later on you can hand to a doctor or a specialist or whomever. I'm almost positive there has to be a way to put an entry into the phone from some sort of taptic touch from the what do you call that thing? Your wrist. So I don't think that what you're getting at is far off. It sounds like, for what you're asking for, it sounds like a really simple program. But yeah. I'm going to back up to whomever said so. It's not necessarily up to Apple to program that per se, because they leave that kind of stuff open to developers, because right. Developers will oftentimes outthink them. We have apps right now for our phone and our computers that no person in Cupertino would have ever thought of, and they're amazing. Some of the best things that are every day now actually comes from outside developers trying. Like when the first guy figured out you could stitch a bunch of photos together to make a pretty wicked looking video versus shooting a video, and now all of a sudden we have hyperlapse and time lapse built into the phone, and we have slow motion built into the phone, which mm-hmm. Apple didn't even try, but some developer right. did it, and now they Sherlocked it, and bam. So I'm pretty sure that what you're asking for can be done, but I wouldn't directly, I mean, okay, say, let's say it's their fault, just so that you win. It's their fault, but it's easy fix. This is what you do to women. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. I'm going to fix it so you can stop.
I don't see why that's Apple's responsibility to put that into HealthKit.
Hey, Ewan, I was saving us. I agree with you. I don't think it's their fault either, but it's so easy to fix.
Kevin, you've identified a clear necessity for the app in the market for the ladies to track that and store that, but that's an app level. It's not a HealthKit level. I don't think it needs to do that. It's not Apple's.
I do.
No.
If you had a woman's reproductive cycle, you would be 100% behind this, because it's not a matter of, it's only a matter of being able to access the information. That's it. It's the straight display that anybody has for any other sort of thing. All I'm looking for is the option to be able to put that stuff in HealthKit from wherever I want to.
No,
that's it.
I've got a vicariously applicable reproductive cycle that affects me every month regardless, but not to the same degree.
Put that in the chat.
But the point is that that's got nothing to do with it, and I sympathize, and I understand that you want an application that will do this, but what I'm saying is, from a tech viewpoint, forget the sex stuff, from a tech viewpoint, I can't see how that's the responsibility of Apple and HealthKit when it's the responsibility of a dev to write an app that would do that for you. If you need app, you're not. Go and get that app written.
It's not the app that is the issue. I can write the app. I can write 10 of these apps. I could do this all day long. Okay, but here's the thing. It won't go into HealthKit where all of my other health information is tracked. All I want is the option from Apple to have a place in HealthKit where that lives. What if you're somebody who really doesn't drink water? There's a water intake panel of information that you can add to HealthKit if you want to.
Wait, can we back up on that one? Because I can't find that. Where is that? Because I was looking for that, and I was going to mention that I feel that's one that's missing as well.
You have to have an app that does it, I thought, because somebody, more than one place I've seen has mentioned it. I don't spend a lot of time in HealthKit because it isn't useful to me yet. So,
just so you know, I think that is another one that they're pointing that they're missing. I can't find a hydration area or a water area or anything. So if someone knows where that is or how to get that activated, let me know.
So my point is if you're using the Fitbit app, suppose it did work. If you're using the Fitbit app and the Fitbit app lets you enter how much water you drink at a time, like here, I just knocked off another 8 ounces. I just knocked off another 16. It would be nice if there was a place in HealthKit where you could trend that stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not diabetic, but, you know, having blood sugar tracking in there could be important too. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It would just be nice if there was an option. I'm leaving it at that.
Yeah, the thing that Kelly's bringing up is without the data location in health app, you can't do any data sharing between other apps. So that's the blocking mechanism. That's why these things, Apple needs to have options for all kinds of data. And it may just be a time thing. You know, I don't know. Why isn't that in there in day one? I don't know. Why isn't the hydration thing in there day one? Because I thought that was something they were going to track.
The blood sugar results thing is another one. I mean, I would have thought blood sugar would be, on the list of things to do, would be a unisex thing that would apply to everyone. So I don't know. I think if you're not careful, you end up trying to be upset at something that doesn't need to be upset at. It's something that should be written in an application. It's not a thing that needs to be upset at the core level. That's what I don't get. If you want it, go get it. You know, and if you really say, well, why has it got to go in HealthKit? Well, hang on a minute. You really want to sell all your cycle data to Apple. Put it in an application that stays on your own iOS device and doesn't get shared with anyone, please.
Yeah, but what if you have two applications and you want that data shared between those two apps? The only way for a developer to be able to do that is if the data is available in HealthKit. One app can't talk to the other app.
Is there absolute sandboxing there, though? I thought there was some apps that you could share.
No, health, because, yeah, they can share as long as it goes through health.
Because of health.
And you opt in both apps into the health data repository.
Yeah.
Okay, I just forget about health. I thought that apps could share data. They're not totally sandboxed anymore. Sandboxing restrictions were relaxed.
You can call an app, but I think your level of interoperability is limited from app to app unless you're routing it through a kit.
Yeah, you can. Yes. No, so if I've got an app that counts 1 to 10, the result of that count can be sent to another app.
That I don't know.
That's my
not
that deep of a developer yet.
Yeah, me either.
Well, if you're a developer, then write in. And if you are a developer, write an app. There you go.
Oh, jeez.
That's a developer in the background saying that they will.
That's my back girl, sorry.
I wish I hadn't said anything, no? Jesus. I'm thrown. Yeah, no. American Airlines and all the airlines have got jiggy with the watch. They're all saying that they've got brand new super duper applications that will give you information like... you can't get your own temperature if you're on your cycle, but you can get the temperature of where you're flying to. And whether your plane is on time or not, and what gate it's boarding at, etc. It doesn't say anything whether it's about checking in, though. Whether they've utilized the NFC to check in and check out, so you haven't got to show your passport and that kind of crap.
You know, I...
It says on the description, check in.
Hang on, Kelly, let dogs start.
Okay.
One at a time, mate. Go on, Doc.
The thing that I find that I'm going to love this, I do a metric crap ton of the traveling, right? But what I have found is an inconsistency between the people in the blue shirts. Now, you had told me I'm not allowed to call people idiots anymore, but you haven't dealt with American TSA as much as we do. These guys are the most inconsistent bunch ever. So, like, I have gone places where I've buried my boarding pass because I have it on my passbook. And I get to the thing, and I hand the guy my ID and my phone, and he goes, where's your boarding pass? I'm like, you're looking at it. And then he goes, no, I need to see the real one. I go, no, just put this underneath that scanner. The reason why there's a scanner with that red laser is because that's the same thing. And he's like, no, 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 I need to see the paper one. I'm like, now I got to dig through my bag to find where I put the paper one that luckily I printed out, because I had only known better because one time I didn't print one and I got stuck and got sent back to go get one. So this is great if we could just teach TSA how to be consistent.
I've got to say, I've been through TSA in Chicago, and they were okay. Just professional, but nothing more. New York was really friggin' rude. And Detroit were like mom car. They were wonderful. They were really, really nice, friendly people. Really enjoyed flying with them through Detroit. Really good.
Hey, I found this definitely true from airport to airport.
Yeah. What was your point, Kelly?
No, it's, I was just going to say, you had put up that screen of the American Airlines thing on the watch.
Yes.
And it said in the description, check in.
Check in from your Apple Watch during your flight. View a map with a time remaining until arrival, as well as baggage claim and connection details.
Okay. So yeah, probably not. But like, I've used an app to check in on Alaska Airlines. And when I use the app to check in, there's a bunch of stuff that you walk through. So yeah, all it says, the full sentence is check in from your Apple Watch. And that's all it says. So maybe you can, but like when I've done it in the app, it says, is this you? And is anything in your bag going to explode? And is this the seat that you want? Or do you want to change to another available seat? And it shows you the layout of the plane, so you can pick another seat if you want to.
I was just,
and on and on. So all of that is a lot of interaction to do on your arm, I think.
I was just sitting thinking for myself, imagine trying to get a seat on an A380 on your watch. And you kind of like,
yeah.
You'd have to have a special pair of glasses.
Batwinch, to answer your question, you can use Wi-Fi in air. As a matter of fact, on Southwest Airline, TED, which used to be owned by United, now they call it something else, a bunch of the state hopper jumpers, and including my over-the-water flight to and from Japan yesterday, all had Wi-Fi in air, and it was pretty solid. Like, it was cool. The Japan airline one was 18 months for the international, I mean, 18 months, $18 for the international flight, but it was well worth it. Because not only could I check email and do things like that, it gave me the opportunity to watch better movies than what was in the back of the head of the person in front of me.
Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting thing, and to me, an interesting use of the Wi-Fi. The last time I took a trip, we were coming back from LA, actually, when I got to hang out with Adam. And on the way back, there was an app that you can install on your iPhone or your iPad, and I think there's an Android version, and this is on Alaska, and you can sort through their movie library and their TV show library, and you can watch all of that stuff without having to pay for Wi-Fi on the plane. But I can sit with my iPad and connect my iPad to their network and watch, you know, I watched the second Captain America movie on the way home from Los Angeles. It was pretty awesome. And I really like that they were giving that option instead of sort of making everybody sit through the interview, you know, like all at once. I thought that was really handy that they had the option. So that's it.
I watched Southwest has that way.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wait till
I really like how they're innovating with that now that it's no longer, you know, witchcraft to have internet access on an airplane.
A word of advice, though, it is an Alaska feature. Download the app before you get on the plane.
Yeah.
Because the Wi-Fi on the plane isn't exactly, you know, like blazing fast.
No. This is very true.
What I discovered, Adam, is what they do is they have a, you know, it's all TOS based, right? So, right. I'm sorry, QOS based, not terms of service. It's all QOS based. So their movie playback and stuff is just brilliant. But when you just try to do something like rock the Gmail, it's like hella slow, or standard browsing is hella slow. Which I think is funny because you're in the air, you can stream the hell out of a movie, which takes like 8,000 times more bandwidth,
right.
But you can't check an email. So that you're definitely true, because I have tried to download an app in the air and it takes thousands of miles. Just to put it that way. You can't even go by minutes. It's by thousands of miles to download an app. Ewan, I wanted to bring up something, if it's okay with you.
Yeah, go on, man.
All right, so I ran across this article on Read Write Web. I swear to you, I can speak English, but it's 5:45 in the AM, so let it go. This guy, Christian Cantrell, wrote this article, and I read it because I had to read it. Once I got started, I was so burning angry because, you know, me and my thing about journalists just writing crap to be writing crap. But let's just start with the headline, and I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to take your pulse after I tell you the headline, and then we'll get into the details if necessary. The headline reads as follows. The Apple Watch looks great, but it's going to be a disappointment to lots of users. It's personal, but not essential, and many will likely set it aside. Chris Cantrell, March 19th, 2015.
And what's your view on that?
Well, let's just start. The first line of the article says, guest author Chris Cantrell is a blogger and a science fiction author. So let's start with the science fiction part. Like, I guess before I rip this guy a new a-hole, what is considered successful in reality, in blogger space, and stockholder space? Let's just start. Let's get a baseline of what you guys think would be considered successful.
Well, the baseline is Apple, surely. That's the point.
No, I'm talking about what would be considered Apple's success? When would people be able to shut up and go, okay, the watch worked? What will it take?
I wouldn't say, I mean, if you make more than it cost you to make and you make money from any venture, then it was a success. And if you made a loss so that you could then make some money later on from something, that would still be a success because it was a precursor. But I don't think an Apple success is something which people queue around the block for.
I think part of that success is going to be, does the product exist 2 years from now or a year from now? I mean, Apple's had some of those products that weren't successful. I can't go buy iPod socks.
No,
as near as I can remember, right? I can't get a yo-yo mouse anymore.
Ellis walked around in those until he was two.
I mean, so that's one measure. I think how much money Apple makes from the product is another measure. I think it's hard to put an arbitrary number on, like, if they sell X number of units, then it's a success.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it is.
Okay, Dave, what'd you say, Dave?
I just have to agree with Adam. We have to see where we are in 2 or 3 years. And I'm sure, I mean, it's impossible to say, really, what the average user's experience is going to be because the number of people who've had their hands in this thing is so small.
Right.
That I think it's really impossible to predict right now what the average user's experience is going to be at 1 week and 1 month and 1 year in.
Some people might argue that, you know, having Chinese companies knock off your product months before it even exists means it's a success.
That's probably a good sign.
I would say that. All right. The reason why I wanted to get your guys' pulses first, because I agree with Dave. Okay. It's way too early for anybody to be making these claims. And I normally respect what's written on Read Write Web. I'm just going to call it RWW for right now. I normally respect what they write, but like, why would you even print a piece like this that's so based on pure speculation and it's just going to just rile people like me up? Even if it was Android or Pebble. I mean, Pebble is goofing off.
I think you just answered your own question, sweetheart.
In the state of just doing whatever, Pebble is goofing off in comparison to Apple Watch. And look how many pre-sales they have for a watch that doesn't even exist yet, right? That's not going to be anywhere near what the Apple is. I mean, like, I would say getting a Kickstarter at almost $2.5 million is a raving success. But the stuff that they used to back it on was some of the craziest things. Like, he made points like, 60% of the 16 to 34 year olds demographics. First of all, that's two demographics. If you're going to be a marketing demographic person, 16 to 34 is two demographics. So let's start there.
Yeah.
But he says 60% of them have askew watches for their phones primarily. And that's an old statement. I mean, that came from 2011. And yes, I would say most people anecdotally would agree with you. But that's before this thing that's on your wrist that's only being called a watch because it fits on the wrist, not because it is an actual timepiece, is a little bit reaching because you don't know yet how people are going to react to it, right? And second of all, he says even the people who just buy everything Apple for the sake of buying everything Apple will buy it and then throw it away, you know, like 2 months later. And then the last one, sort of similar to what Kelly was speaking on, they talked about the health people. Just like many of the health kit people got their health devices and they used it for like a couple months and they threw it away or it's sitting in the corner somewhere. And, you know, I thought that was going to happen to me with Fitbit, but I started Fitbit back when it was Body Bug, and that wasn't even a whole separate thing. And it was literally the size of this mouse stuck to the side of my arm. And it was a thing that 24-hour fitness suckered you into buying for literally $500. And I've been tracking ever since. And I know I'm not everybody, and I don't tend to do what journalists do and say, well, because it's me, this is what everybody does. But using someone like me as an example, and looking around my neighborhood, like I see nothing but Fitbits and Pulses and Withings and Y bands and Nike Fuel bands. And I mean, it's big enough for so many people to still be running entire businesses off of it. It's crazy to say that that's not a thing. If we went by runners in the Americas alone, there was over 541,000 participants in merit and 1,110 marathons in 2014, right? So a 500,000 people alone is a success. If you sell anything a 500,000 of, you're doing okay. And that's just U.S. We didn't speak anything else about the other 72 countries to which they're going to sell it in. So I think first point is you can't make these statements until after this comes up, until maybe September. But second of all, I'm agree with Adam. Most of the people that are going to jump on are probably not actually going to jump on until second vision anyway. It's early adopters. We're going to do okay, just like the original iPhone did okay, and it made noise and it put dents. The second iPhone, oh my God, that blew people's minds because we went from like 25 million in the first year to almost 100 something million in the second year. And I think that's more or less where it is.
But I think you've got to... First of all, success is a qualitative statement because it's not. There is no measure for it that's specified in that article. So therefore, it's going to upset you because you're an Apple fan. So then there's the, well, you know, kind of all of the journalists sit into one or two camps. So there'll be fanboys or there'll be anti-fanboys. And then the fact is that they actually want your click more than they want to actually say something that's worthy of there journalistic integrity. So they say something that's contentious. So they got your click, sucker. You're already into it and now you're talking about it and you're really upset about it, and fundamentally an awful lot of journalism doesn't want to inform you, it just wants to upset you because it gets you click. And I do apologize for the journalists here present, but
no, I don't think any of those the people present here would do that,
but you know, so Dave,
no apology needed.
Dave and Apple World Today write stuff and it's good stuff, and it, you know, 2R wrote good stuff, but the point is Dave needs to get clicks, otherwise Apple World Today is going to close down. So there's got to be a balancing act and a justifiable one between I need to get people in to read something, so I've got to write the odd story that's like, ooh, and then I just want you to, then I'll inform you a little bit more further down the article, and I'll temper the article so that the headline grabs you and the article informs you.
Clickbaiting headlines, I don't agree with either. So I think you can take a higher road even there. And I think most of the journalists and sites that I appreciate take that higher road. But you're absolutely right. Well, great, I mean, there's a large portion of the world that doesn't think the way I do.
Let's ask the journalist. That's you, Dave.
Oh, I was looking behind me. Also, if... I mean, I'll be the devil's advocate. If this is this author's genuine opinion, he's certainly permitted to share it.
Yeah.
So if he says, you know what, maybe he has spent time with the watch at the event, maybe he hasn't, I don't know what his history is. But if he did, granted he had a very minute amount of time with it, or he's done all of his research and comes to think, I don't know, maybe people won't be as thrilled with this thing as we're predicting they will. Fine, he can say that. That's fine. But as far as writing 80 articles, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, no, no. Dave finished
the headline to make it not so douchey.
What was it again? I don't remember what you said.
No, isn't there a way to do that and to make the headline not seem so douchey?
Oh, sure. I mean,
but douchey sells.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. If you're writing to
douchey gets clicked.
Yeah. If you're writing to human beings, you're writing to machines. You don't have to try to think I'm going to write to Google. I mean, if you're doing good original quality content, you automatically write for Google and other search things. That's really the best way to do it. Just consistent good content is the best thing you're going to do. And I don't remember what you what the headline was, Doc, when you read it.
It was long, but it was very biting. So I agree with you. Like, I do think the person is allowed their opinion, and I sort of agree with what Ewan said. Of course, there's going to be the fans, there are going to be the detractors. There are people who make their whole careers, Jim Rome, on detracting against what every other sports writer says as a way of generating. I literally watch Jim Rome because I hate him.
But like, no one knows who that person is anyway in the UK. So, the National Enquirer or the News of the World or the Sunday Sport, you know, those are all tabloids that were out to get a headline. And people will tend to buy a paper if they see something which riles them up a little bit, and the negative gets the click. The negative gets the story. The negative gets the. I mean,
it gets the retweet. It gets the Facebook post. It gets the rant from somebody else. It gets the comment stream. It gets, you know.
I think that this, but see, what's happening is we worked a long time to try to even be considered as journalists, and now slowly but surely, as all the regular papers are dying and a lot of the guys that came from paper world are making it back to the e world, they're starting to let that stupid title go a little bit, and they're starting to let, you know, some of us be considered journalism. So when people write, I guess, things that mess with journalistic integrity, it's cool for your link baiting, and it's cool for your site, and it's cool for the clicks, but at some point you're hurting the thing that we all love the most, I think.
Yeah.
And that drives me crazy. I mean, to some extent, you're a journalist, you might actually write it, but just doing what we're doing right now is a form of journalism in a certain extent by the modern definition.
I've got an article that I sat and thought an awful lot about Chuck Latornis's point on last week's show, which I thought was absolutely spot on, is that the watch is the first time that Apple have done something which is blatantly almost greedy. And I'm paraphrasing what he said there, I have to admit. You know, they've always brought out high-value products, but they've always impressed on the quality that's gone along with those high-value products. Whereas the gold watch is something which is just blatantly ostentatious and greedy in what I see and what I understood from what Chuck was trying to say. And I've been sitting thinking, okay, I think I agree with his point. And now I'm trying to figure out where that's come from. And actually, I came across with something that Kelly's going to be running around looking for a length of rope in a minute when I say this. But I think, and we're not having a discussion about this, this is to do with the journalistic thing, not what I'm about to say. I'm sitting thinking, well, hang on. Angela Ernst, she's come from Burberry. That's a brand which is vastly overpriced considering the quality of the products that are there and what it actually produces, and it relies on high-value advertising in Vogue, etc. That's where this is coming from. It's the appeal to women because the women in the mass market, so they're going to say everything that the women want to hear because, apart from Kelly, of course, because she wants her cycles measured. And I'm sitting thinking, actually, I think Ernst is at the back of this. She's the one that has got this kind of greed element that's come into Apple from it. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. The point is, if I wrote that article, I would write something that would say about Arendt's greed ruining Apple. And that wouldn't be a fair statement because I don't even know if that's the truth. But it would get people to read it. It would get people to say, you're just a fat old lazy wanker. Stop writing articles about Apple. But it would get clicks. And that's the point.
Let's say something like that, and please, if I'm so wrong, it is, you're allowed to hit me. From what I read when I look at my say, I mostly know the UK press that I normally read is based around football. And the Inquirer and those papers like that here a lot, or, you know, in the tech world is Gawker, which is also UK. Where you live, it's normal to write headlines like that. Yeah. Where we live, not so much. And we're starting to get that way because once the web became international, guys figured out maybe we should all patent headlines like the UK papers patent headlines.
Yeah, Doc, you know, the other thing is, I think you have to, unfortunately, you know, we can turn around and blame journalists and the industry and stuff like that. But really, it is, unfortunately, I think in a lot of ways, the audience that has to take a lot of the blame. Because yeah. we've moved into this world where you've got YouTube and the tweet thing and the Facebooky thing and the Instagrammy thing and that, like, there's so much stuff vying for everyone's attention. And as Ewan was saying earlier, the way these sites survive is by getting your attention. And mm-hmm. when things start spiraling down and you're not getting attention, you start to get desperate, I think. So there is a give and take that happens here, unfortunately, and I don't see a good outcome at this point. You know, there still are those people that value the quality and the content, as sort of Dave was talking about. I'm one of those people. But you have to kind of seek it out now, because the vast yes. majority of the you know, people on the internets, they just want the quick sound bite. They want the sensational headline. They want the drama. They want the... And I don't know why our society has become that way, but it seems to me that that's where we're moving. And I don't want to put a big judgment on why that is. I'm just saying it is a thing.
Always has right. been. And, yeah, always will be.
I don't want us to suggest that the internet created sensationalist journalism.
No,
it's been around forever and ever. It's just made it more easily accessible than yep. ever, and it's proving to be a valid business model for a whole lot of people.
Right.
Yes. You know, and you
I don't go to TMZ.com, but they get a crap ton of traffic.
Yeah, you yeah. do.
One of the things that I found really funny, because everyone harped on about the $10,000 watch or the $18,000 watch. I think, in to Ewan's point, and this is something that I do in my business, so maybe I see it this way because I do it this way, but I was taught this a long time ago in business school. Whenever you give somebody options, the best way to give people options is to give them three and to give them good, better, best. And most people will pick the middle, right?
Right.
So if you got mm-hmm. 350 Absolutely. And you got 600 and then you got 1018, it's so easy to justify to that one in there that I'm going to buy 600 to 1,000. If I said I'm going to buy 10,000, I would catch all kind of heat. So what I do is I roll in and I say, I'm going to buy 10,000, and I take the heat. And then I go, you know what? You're probably right. I think I'll get the 1099. And it's like, yeah, that's so much smarter, stupid. Why would you think I would let you spend 10 grand on a watch? And I'm just like, cha-ching, bam, that's how we do it. And it goes as far as to when I was a kid, I really, really wanted a Doberman Pinscher, and I knew my mom would say no. So I came home and I said, Mom, I want to get a snake. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, I want to get a snake. Johnny got a snake. It's so cool. You feed it rats yep. and stuff. And blah, blah, blah. She said, why could you be like every normal kid and get a dog? Bam.
Well, no problem. Okay.
you yeah. know, so in a way, I think that pricing model works really good for the $699 to $399. Sorry, I'm skipping the skinny wrist because I'm fat.
That's okay. Well, talking about the skinny wrist, we'll come back to that in a second. But I've had a hunt around. Extensibility was a feature kit that was added to iOS 8 in 2011 at WWDC. And it allows third-party applications to talk to each other with a set of APIs. So there you go. Yes, you can.
So, Mueller Biker, you're fired.
I don't know what he's done. So go back to the watch. Go back to the big, chunky wrists. Because, huzzah, third-party people have already started printing, 3D printing, some prototypes for extending the watch band. And there's several of them that I've managed to get off the internet today, having a look around. And actually, there's the Apple Watch with a clip superimposed on it. I think it really friggin' improves the look of the watch. That looks like a proper decent watch. I'm actually a little bit more excited now. Plus, also, I've got my diver's wrist strap that I've got on my Pebble. I can take that off and stick it on it. So I might just buy myself a watch now.
Yeah, that one with the stitching that you showed on the left in the first image is pretty nice. I like that.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still waiting for the images. I'm mad delayed over here. Send me a link.
Yeah,
no, like I said, this is the case of the... You know, this is the next generation. Every trade show you're going to go to, it's just going to be racks and racks of straps and strap adapters and battery straps and this, that, and the other strap.
Oh, yeah. I like the black with the orange stitch.
Yeah, see, that's...
That's got Doc written all over it, I tell you what.
See, I'm going to pop one in. I'm going to pop one in the chat for you guys. This is really cool. They're kind of like, I want to call it texahedral. It's faceted. It's kind of sick.
So,
In order for that to happen, that means the watch is super successful. So I can call Chris Cantrell and tell him to kiss my butt. No, never mind.
Doc. You're feeding into it.
Look at what corner of CES is nothing but watch bands now, Mr. Cantrell.
just showing you Doc's link there. Here we go. That looks awesome. That looks absolutely fantastic. I love that.
Really cool. What's the blue bird from X-Men? Sorry, don't kill me, Science Five guys. It's too early in the morning for me. What her name is?
I don't know.
Phoenix? Dark Phoenix?
The blue chick from X-Men, Kelly Hughes, who would kill me. Kelly would kill me because I know Kelly.
Mystique,
there you go.
When I got my Pebble watch, one of the problems I had with it was the strap. I could just about get it on the very last one because I got a big wrist. But I went on Amazon and got myself a dive watch strap and put that on. There we go. And that absolutely rocks. And I've got one in orange as well, which looks awesome. But I'm too old to wear that. I can't carry off orange anymore. Those days are gone. I just like an old twat trying to be hip.
I have a whole closet full of orange. I'm older than you.
And I rest my case, Doc. So there you go. That simple little addition there. That story. That one story. I has made me want to buy a watch now, I think.
All right.
I'm a bit more excited. Bit more excited.
Ewan, pop your link in the chat, please.
Mate, you should know by now. Everything on this show comes from Mac Rumors. So just go to Mac Rumors. It's all on there.
Nice.
I know. I can't be. I look for stories 10 minutes before we start.
Oh, cool.
There we go. I'll put it in the chat room just because I love you.
It's an Indiegogo. I got it.
Yeah, Apple removes Intigo's virus barrier from the iOS store and says that it's having an absolute purge on virus applications in the iOS store. Intigo CEO Jeff Irwin announced removal of the app and said he kind of understood Apple's point. Even as clear as we are about what our product does and it's only scanning, there were customers out there who were still confused why the app was scanning their iPad and iPhone in the first place. It's not telling them that they have a virus, whereas Apple's assertion is that it misleads people into thinking that they do. Antivirus applications on iOS 8, con, good, bad, go, stay?
Con, go away, I hate them.
Con at the moment.
Hate what?
Are they a con? Should they be there? Should they have a place? Or should they go away? Should Apple rip them all to pieces?
I think it's legit. I think that it should be... There are enough Macs in the world that are now a high enough priority target that it's not something that should be gone away. And given that sometimes Apple is not the most expedient at getting those updates out, then I would definitely like a second line of defense on my system. So I want them to stay.
Okay. Well, as long as it doesn't confuse customers, because I see how, like the story says, someone could get confused about, what is this thing doing again?
Wait,
iPhone, iPad?
No.
iOS? No. No, because you can't get a virus from the App Store. And if you get a virus, then you have bigger problems. Like, for example, you probably jailbroke it, in which case, if you're smart enough to jailbreak it, you should be smart enough to protect yourself. Yet, get them out.
Right. That's Kelly's U-turn right there. Dave, you were saying?
iOS. Difference.
I talked about iOS. I haven't talked about anything but iOS.
Just as long as how these things work is explicitly clear, because, you know, not everyone who has an iOS device is a nerd like us, and all they see is, here's the app, and, you know, it scans your phone. Well, what is it scanning for? What is it doing again? Is it, you know, so as long as that confusion can be avoided, then sure, why not?
So you're pro. You think that there's no problem in having an antivirus app in the iOS store that as long as it only is doing that.
Yeah, pro with a qualifier, I guess I could say.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So two votes cast, one on each side, guys.
Do I need to break it?
I think so.
Unfortunately, I think I'm kind of on the side with Dave. I mean, if they can explain the utility and why I would need it, and it's clear. You know, then, but you know, at the same time, I'm with Kelly. You're not going to get a virus there. So why would you need it? But I don't know. I've always felt that this was a problem Apple was going to face from the very beginning when they announced apps. That, you know, being the curator, like, you're kind of making choices for the consumer, and maybe that's good, maybe that's not. But as a consumer, I don't like the idea of anybody making my buying decisions for me. When it comes, right. When push comes to shove and it gets to the end of it, you know, I should have the choice. If I want to throw away my money on a virus scanner for my iPhone, then that should be my prerogative. It shouldn't be Apple saying you can't buy that.
Yeah, then it's goodbye money.
Yeah.
What's the, I mean, the only thing I've ever thought really that, I mean, I run Sophos on my system. It doesn't take a lot of cycles and it gives me an extra layer that's worth having. But one of the things I like about it is it finds my Windows viruses for me, and I get an email address that I used to use for an old business that I still monitor. But I get 20 pieces of crap on that a day that's got a zip file attached or a PDF attached that's got something in it. And Sophos finds it, and it stops me from worrying about the fact I could inadvertently send it on to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't.
Good bit of software.
Yeah, Sophos is excellent. And if you haven't got it and you're sitting there going, well, I've got a Mac, I don't need to worry about that, well, you're a fool because...
You're wrong.
You do. Someone's put in the Pete's in the chat room said that AVG Labs in Prague deal with 5 to 10 Mac viruses or malware per week. So, you know, you do need something. But I admit that iOS doesn't need it in terms of looking out for a virus that will come in and start sending data out on iOS, but it would be good for any temporary files that are held in cache or something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea why you would need one on iOS, but if someone can make an app and justify it, I don't think they should be blocked from putting it on the App Store.
It's looking like Apple is going to take away all of the virus apps from what this story's saying. But
well, and so, and this is why I don't like this concept, because you get on the slippery slope, right? Because there are a ton of apps that are like these joke apps or fake apps. Like I've seen fingerprint scanning apps where, you know, you put your finger on the screen and it does some animations and pretends like it's actually doing something. And they're pretty clearly labeled, most of them, but not all of them. And I could see someone buying this thing thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, fingerprint scan and unlock my phone or whatever, and truly believing it, you know, and they're out 99 cents or $1.99 or whatever it is. Well, I guess lesson learned. I mean, should Apple be pulling those sorts of apps too?
Here's my stance on it is at least this sounds to be on the surface. We don't know the whole thing, but at least initially, this sounds like Apple making a unilateral consistent decision. Mm-hmm. And that is novel. So at least even if I don't agree with the decision, at least I understand they're doing it to everybody. They're not just picking on Intigo or whoever they are. They're not singling someone out the way we've seen a lot of other famous bounces out of the App Store. This sounds like at least they're doing it to everybody. So whether you agree with the decision or not, at least it's pretty unilateral sounding. So as far as Apple's concerned, that seems to be a step in the right direction because, you know, you can't have... Remember, you couldn't have a widget with a calculator in it until you could, you know, after everybody wrote it up. So that's sort of my stance on it is, at least in this particular case, it sounds like Apple's treating everyone the same, and that's good news for everybody.
Yeah, and I would imagine Apple is mostly concerned with the tacit implication that your iOS devices are susceptible, and something like this, the existence of something like this demonstrates that.
Right.
Excellent. Last story then, before we do anything else, Nintendo is bringing Mario and other games to smartphones and tablets. They've signed a deal with Japanese mobile game maker Dena to produce development games for smartphones, tablets and PCs. Now, it doesn't say what platforms it's going to develop for, and it doesn't say when.
There he is.
But, huzzah! Are you all happy?
My 10-year-old is beside himself with glee. He cannot wait to have Mario and Friends on the iPad.
Well, I just hope he does.
Is that really what's happening? Do we know that for certainty? Or we just know they've partnered with some game company and they're going to make some stuff for iOS?
Yeah, I think
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. They've partnered with this firm, but they haven't said what they're going to make other than it's suggested it's probably going to be Mario, Pokemon, and Zelda. But there's nothing that says definitively, and there's nothing that says they're talking about next fall. So that's, you know.
So it could end up just being companion apps for your Wii U.
No,
because Jeff Gamet wrote this up yesterday over at Mac Observer. We had a conversation about it yesterday because I was unbelievably excited about this until Jeff went, slow your roll there, Kel. Here's the deal. Straight from Jeff's article. Instead of getting real Nintendo titles on the iPhone, it looks more like we'll get DNA games with possibly Mario graphics and plenty of in-app purchases. Because this company sort of stamps out boilerplate games, and they are the freemium. You know, it's free, but everything, if you want to do anything fun, it's going to cost you money. And so it's possible that maybe what we get is games that have Mario in them or that have Link in them. But in real life, it's probably more likely that what we will get is mobile games that feature Nintendo. They won't be very successful because they won't use any of Nintendo's licensed characters. And then Nintendo will say, see, we were right all along. It was stupid for us to get into mobile in the first place. We're not going to do it anymore. If you want to play anything from us, you need to buy a DS XL BBQ WTF.
Well, I'm not so sure. I went to PAX East a little while ago, like I do every year. And there were these were DS games that were being demonstrated that my kid went insane for, and they had a huge line at the booth. One of them was like a Bejeweled type of thing, and it was set in a setting that looked like Mario Brothers, but Mario and Yoshi weren't really there. And there was another game, too, that was similar. I forget what it was. Another mobile game it looked like the Mario setting, but Mario and his friends weren't there. And there were huge lines to play them. And as we were leaving, my son was saying, can I get those? And I don't know. I think it could be successful. It doesn't have to feature. I mean, if Super Mario Brothers came to the iPad, of course, that would be great. But I don't think that has to happen for it to be successful.
Booker in the chat room saying that the game is going to be called Flappy Mario.
I'm in.
Sold. Big long comment from Windrider about Virus Barrier, saying about they put an appeal in, and they made it obnoxiously clear wording, but they still got removed. So they had it rejected. Bad luck. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We got some fantastic stuff going on. You notice if you're watching the video show that we've changed the backdrop a little bit. We've freed up a bit of space for some messages so we can tell you when the other shows are coming on, when you can have a look at those. And also, we've got a new sponsor on board, which is 100terabyte.com, 100tb.com, who are going to be the people that are going to pay for all of the live streaming. They are a UK2 firm who work in America. So all of you Americans have been sitting lustfully looking at UK2 going, how can I get deals? And why is it UK2 only? Why can't it be other people? Well, it is now. You can have American.
Hello, Sailor.
TB.com. We're not sure what we're getting in terms of offer codes and that kind of stuff. We're still in the process of working it out. Paul Wheatley has got access to the server, he thinks, this weekend. So we could have a beta test, if you like, in the next couple of weeks, or in the next couple of days, rather, because we've got to be out of our deal with Livestream on the 18th if we're going to. But Livestream have been excellent. They've given us $1,800 of free service if we want it to keep us. But we're going to explore the possibilities of whether we could or could not manage to do the streaming by ourselves. So that's coming. Thanks to UK2. They've helped us develop immensely in the last sort of few months. And they're absolutely wonderful. What the hell's that?
Somebody rolling down a hill?
I don't know what that was. Never mind. And thanks to Wirecast, because what they gave us, Wirecast, $2,000 worth of software to me and Paul Wheatley so we can run the live studios here. We don't use it anywhere near to the power that it can actually be achieved, so we need to do a bit of learning on it. But they've given it to us, and it's made a world of difference to us. And you're thinking, well, I don't need Wirecast. What the hell do I want to go there for? Well, go to Telestream and get yourself the screen capture software that they do called ScreenFlow. I think it's only 50 quid or something like that, and it's absolutely awesome. You can record any screen size that you've got. If you've got a 5K screen, it will record it. Your 5K iMac will be recorded truthfully and faithfully in its full resolution. So enjoy it. It's wonderful. Go and check them out. And if you get a chance, tweet out to say that we sent you. Same for UK 2 as well, please. That's great. Gamer Show, it's Monday night, 8 o'clock, if you want to go and watch that. Paul and Chiz and Sam will be there talking about all the latest stuff in gaming. The first one back after their slight break. I don't know why they've had a slight break, but they've had a slight break. That and the Pocket Show. Pocket Show will be back next week. But Gamer Show is live Monday night, 8 o'clock. UK time. We don't do daylight saving yet, so at the moment I think that's 4 p.m. Eastern, not 3 p.m. So we'll get from there. Right. Do we has a cool thing? Doctor.
I don't want to go first.
Oh, okay.
I'll go.
Go then.
I'm excited about my pick. I'll go.
Do it.
Awesome.
All right. So I think it might have been last week or the week before where I picked an app called it's called Carrot Fit. It's a fitness app. Called Carrot.
Oh, and I love that app. Huh? I love that app.
And it has what my kids call evil Siri in it, and yes. She's abusive to you to try and get you to work out. Well, turns
she
out
calls
this
you
week,
meat sack.
Am I stealing your pick?
Yeah, come
no, I, no. She okay, like so calls you Carrot, meat sack, and that's like the nicest thing bag. She says. Yeah,
meat bag. So I'm gonna bring this app up, and hopefully I need to get set up so that I can. Actually, you know, plug this into my equipment. But I'm going to launch the Carrot Weather app.
Oh, no.
Oh, you messed it up. I was going to play the audio for you. Oh, and I just unlocked a secret location. So the Carrot Weather app actually taps into dark sky. So you get all the personality of carrots in a weather app tapped into the dark sky data, which is awesome weather data. And, she will come up and give you funny sayings every time you launch it. But I just found out it also now has hidden locations like Apple's secret labs or Tatooine. And so the more you use the app, you can unlock secret, like funny locations. So I'm going to be using this app like very frequently. Right. And I believe it's $2.99 US, and it's just funny and hilarious, but the weather's still really good too. And you can swipe back and forth to get, you know, your daily, your weekly, your hourly weather forecast for your location.
Excellent. Oh, this is awesome. Their Carrot Alarm Clock and Carrot To Do are also super hilarious. And I got them because of Kalo, as a matter of fact. Kalo got me stuck on these apps. They're pretty hilarious.
Yep. So check out Carrot Weather. These guys are doing fun, creative stuff.
Excellent. Good one. Kelly, what have you got for us?
So the good news is I have an awesome thing to share, but the bad news is I can't really show it to you because it's the new thing from 12 South that now, of course, is completely escaping me, the name of it. You can...
The high-rise for the watch?
No, it's newer. From yesterday, the base lift, it's sort of like having a smart cover, but on the bottom of your laptop. So it folds back into the triangle. And then with your computer on your lap or on the table or whatever, it's raised a little bit. You get some air circulation underneath. And, like if you have it in your lap, you're not scorching your legs anymore. And it gives you just, it's about that much angle, that much lift in the back. It's super comfortable on your lap. It's super comfortable on the table. It uses the same adhesion that the cases do, the little flip covers that they have for the iPhone 5 and 6. It uses that same stuff so you can peel it off and then, you know, stick it again later if you want to. It's super fantastic. It's really, really awesome. They just announced it yesterday and actually sent me one that I got yesterday. So you can hear more about that at Mac Observer probably later today. It's really awesome. And then the iOS pick that I will give you is a super awesome app that I think is unbelievably useful, especially for all of us because we're sort of social people. So I will tell you way more about the base lift later, but Party Snapper is really awesome. It's from Boink Software. And the reason it's amazing is because if you are somebody who, like you go to a party and there's a bunch of people at the party, everybody's hanging around, everybody's taking pictures. If it's like a family gathering, then you have to go find all those people later and get them to email you the photos, or maybe you can convince somebody to use the shared photo stream, but sometimes Aunt Martha doesn't always know how to work that and then screws it up and all you get is the pictures that you didn't want to see. So in order to make it all very easy, the thing that you can do with Party Snapper is anyone that wants to can install the Party Snapper app for free to take pictures. Use the Party Snapper app to take pictures and then it will bounce it over to where you have set up something that you are using to display a photo wall in your, like in your house, in your backyard, whatever. You hook your iPad to the projector and you're broadcasting photos on the wall that people are taking live at the party right now. So somebody takes an awesome picture of the liquor available and then it shows up over here on AirPlay. And the best thing about it is that any of the pictures that are taken will stay on your iPhone or iPad or whatever it is that you are using to display the photos. So you get all of those pictures at the end. You already have all of them on your device, whatever that may be. And people who are taking pictures at the party, you're already showing them up on the screen down the side. They did a Kickstarter for this, and now it's 1.0, and it's super fantastic, and I'm really excited that it's totally a thing now. They have a couple of specials. Like I said, it's free to snap the app, but to be somebody who is hosting a party, you have to be able to, you have to go in and buy a package to get different abilities for events, but it's super awesome. I was a beta tester for the app. It's super great. I'm really glad I get to talk about it now because it's a lot of fun. And if you do family gatherings or like if you have a wedding, the whole inspiration for this was when one of the guys at Boinks got married and wanted everybody to be able to see the photos everybody was taking. Or if you do meetups, like if you're somebody who is who goes to a mug regularly, this might be a fun thing if there's like a mixer after or whatever. So I'm super excited about Party Snapper. You can get it at boinks.com, boinx.com/Party Snapper.
Okay.
It's also half off right now for the full like hard party mode where you get unlimited storage and unlimited photos and things like that.
Cool. David, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got an app that disappeared from the App Store about 6 months ago and finally came back.
That's why I wanted to go last. I wouldn't steal your pick, Dave. Damn it.
Take as long as
Kelly did so I can find another damn pick. I knew you were doing it because you wrote it.
Nobody takes as long as Kelly does.
Hey!
Launcher.
So it's called Launcher, and it allows you to quickly launch different apps and different things like phone calls or texting right from the today view of notification center. So you don't even have to unlock your phone. You can just set up all these little shortcuts right there and they're a tap away. There is an in-app purchase of $3.99. Otherwise it's free. And that purchase does, hold on, I just had it up and now it's gone. Removes ads. It gives you up to 3 rows of launchers in the today view and let you customize the icons for the little things that you set up. It's really, really handy and useful, and I love stuff that makes things easier for me, and Launcher definitely does.
And it's not just call, it's like call a person. So you can set it up to call your spouse or your kid or whoever it is that you end up having to dial all the time. That's super awesome. Have
call my wife, that. FaceTime my parents, all that sort of thing, just right there.
Yeah.
Brilliant, good app.
I love that it says choose wisely.
I had that on the list.
Yes,
I know.
I had that on the list of stories today, and I didn't do it because I didn't know how many people would have remembered it. So glad you picked it as a cool thing. Doc, do you want to go last? Oh, wait.
What?
It's your turn.
Okay. No, it's just funny because I something said I better not say my pick because I don't want to mess up Kalo since he's the guest. Dang funny. Anyway, I love that app. I was glad that it's all functional again. Anyway, so again, picking on apps that I really use a lot and I absolutely adore, and I have a tendency to switch back and forth between this app and another competitor. And I think my loyalty is laid to this only because I've had it the longest, and that's PDF Expert. And they just dropped PDF Expert 5, and currently it's 50% off in the App Store at $4.99. And basically, it's the coolest PDF manipulation app on the iPad. And also works great on the iPhone too, because I am out sometimes and I'm doing a contract, like say someone says they need a wedding MC or they need a video edit or whatever. And before, I used to have to lug the paper around and then get them to sign it and give me my deposit and do all those other things. And what's really cool about the way this app works is I can actually sign it on the fly, make any changes to the contracts on the fly. You can annotate like a mad dog of, you know, annotating is your thing. You can draw. I love the fact that you can just add a blank page in the middle of a PDF that didn't exist if you needed a place to take notes. It works really, 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 really good on file management as far as tapping into Box and Dropbox and whatever else that you have. And, you know, all of the above. And yes, Kelly, I do know that, but I'm not gainfully employed by them. I just happen to love Dennis. He's my man crush. He's the coolest kid ever. It's a really, really good app anyway. And of course, the other option would be PDF Pen, but I have used Expert the longest, so I know it like the back of my hand. And it's a pretty amazing app from the guys at Riedel.
Okay.
And it's on sale for $5 now.
It's also for $5.
On sale.
Sorry, man. Excellent.
It's okay. Not everybody's fluent in Doc.
Well.
Adam is. That's amazing, Adam.
That's the thing. Someone rang the sodding doorbell. That's why I'm a bit behind the eight ball here. bastards. Amazon. My cool thing is the BBC weather app. Because there's none of that flash, none of that flancy flash shit that you were getting in your app, Adam. This is British. This is boring. This is proper, boring, statistical weather that is the way it should be. None of your flash stuff. None of your fun stuff. Actually, I'm joking. one thing I do want to say is Atomos last week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Holy shit.
Isn't that fun?
Holy shit, what a game. I'm up to about 5,000 and something, or 8,000 and something.
Oh, you're kicking my butt.
Which
one?
Man.
Atomos.
Oh, Jesus Christ, a game. It is stunning. I've got it on my phone, I've got it on the iPad, and I sat with Sharon last week on Friday after we'd done the show. We sat to watch Bear Grylls, which is like he's doing a Mission Survive thing for UK celebrities. And I never watched a bit of it. I had to get up on Saturday morning and watch it because I was sat playing Atomos. It's brilliant. Oh, man. Man. So reinforcing. That's my pick. It's reinforcing Adam's pick.
yeah, Adam got me good with Disney side. If you have a kid, you need Disney side. Emma can't get enough of me sending pictures of her uncle as Maleficent. So thank you for that, Adam.
That was the first thing I thought of.
I have to add to my pick because I just tried typing Cupertino into the weather location in that app, and it immediately unlocked Apple's R&D lab. So
nice.
Well, like the
front
door.
As a location for the weather. I haven't run it yet.
That's love awesome. I love the carrot apps. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yep.
Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
On the British Tech live stream, like normally twice a week or so, and then on the Twitter, the FaceSpace, the MyBook, the interwebs, the Joe's Pool Hall, A-Ball, Barbecue Sauce, and Trucking Department at Doc Rock. I'm everywhere. That's just how you find me.
Excellent, mate. I've just remembered I haven't had any lunch today. I wondered why my stomach was rumbling.
Adam. Me neither, because it's 6 a.m.
Yeah. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on iTunes, also Maccast on all of the social media networks. Although I am the Maccast, if you want to find the Facebook page, because, I don't know, Maccast was taken for my personal profile. So there you go.
Are we doing the road trip? We're going to go to WWDC and then drive to Barry's thing. 10 days, Route 66.
Oh,
Oh my god!
So tempting. I just that don't. Sounds I awesome. Don't know if I can clear that with the supervisor.
Oh,
I got Hawaiian miles. Let's go.
Is that a disease?
No.
It's when air you miles fly with enough, Hawaiian Airlines.
Yeah, when you fly enough, you just pluck a ticket out
so
of it.
So you come in. You're going to meet us at WWDC. We'll do a day at WWDC, and then we'll drive. We're going to get a car, and we're going to share the driving all the way to Chicago and hit routes.
We can get enough people. We can probably charter a whole Greyhound.
As much as possible.
Yeah,
what day do I need to end up in San Fran?
Rent the RV.
We could do, yeah.
Winnebago.
That's what you need. Yes. Winnebago, D.C. That's what you need.
Petrol's cheap.
Yeah, Cruise America. CruiseAmerica.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Ewan, where you want me to meet you?
Well, we're going to meet at WWDC and then drive all the way up to Chicago, the Barry's thing.
Okay, so excuse my ignorance, but what day do I got to be in SF?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know. That's detail.
Okay.
I don't think have they announced dates? They haven't announced actual dates yet, have they?
We don't know yet.
It's the 20th or something like that. It's 10th. It's 10 days before. 10th to the 12th, something like that.
Got it.
It is there. They have got the dates.
Yeah, I'm looking really?
Yeah, they're listed. 10th to the 12th or something. 10th to the 12th or 8th to the 12th or something like that. Anyway, Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me occasionally elsewhere on the British Tech Network. And I explain stuff and occasionally appear on the Daily Observation podcast over at macobserver.com. You can hear me this week on the latest episode of the Internet Outrage Machine with Dave Kalo. And you can sometimes hear me on The After Show, which is a podcast I do with Mike Rose.
Excellent. And Dave Kalo, where the hell are you, sir?
You will find me at appleworld.today, and I am David Kalo on Twitter, and I also do a podcast called Homework over at the 5x5 Network.
Well, as Ewan Rankin, you can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on @BritishTech as well. I've been putting some pictures up of the eclipse this morning. That went rather well. We got clear skies-ish in Birmingham just for enough time, and then absolutely gorgeous. I've got a video that I'm doing at the moment as well, so I'll put that up later on. A game show Monday, don't forget, and big show tonight at 8 p.m. See you then. Thanks for listening.